Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host,
Anthony St. Andrews.
Hello, Anthony
yes.
St. Andrews.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
So anyway, welcome. This has been a while, but here we are doing two episodes of Gotham in 1 hour. Can we do it? Maybe. If we can't, then it doesn't happen. So the stakes
are
really high.
There is no end game. There is no end game for anyone here.
Yeah, right. The stakes are very high. So, we're just going to jump right in. If you want to talk to us about a specific episode when we're on that episode, so because today we're talking about episodes 4 and 5. So if you want to talk to us about episode 4 when we're on it, you can call in, the number being 718-664-9468. And then when episode 5 rolls around, we'll bring up the number again if you want to call in. And, of course, if any of you are thinking, darn, I have to get off the internet or, you know, oh, someone else wants to listen, but they can't, you know, use their computer. Maybe they have one computer in their house and it's being occupied. Tell them not to worry. You can use our call-in number to also listen in. So if you call in, right, 718-664-9468, and you don't press 1, we'll see that, you know, we'll see you there, but we won't see a notification that says, I want to talk. So we'll realize that you just want to sit there and listen in, and yeah, and you can just do that. So, Anthony.
Yes.
Episodes 4 and 5, it's been a month and a week, which is almost a month and a half. We've had Gotham, the show, in our lives for a month, more than a month. How does that make you feel?
I like where it's going so far. So far, I haven't really hit an episode that kind of made me go, this isn't really the greatest. I think they've all had really good stuff. Some of them, episode 4, honestly, for me, was a bit, I don't want to say boring, but it was kind of under the radar, in my opinion, compared to what went down in other episodes. So I will say that, like every episode, the Penguin is just the scene stealer for me. I don't know.
Yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. I think I think episode 4, when looking at it, it was very much, just that episode, like in comics, because, and it's kind of funny. This show is very much like comic books, I feel. Not necessarily Batman comic books, but like comic books, I feel. So this was just that, episode 4 was just that episode, right, where you just sit there and you go, okay, you know, like, kind of building up towards the next episode, which I think it did nicely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of what it was about. But there was a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, you know, the idea of, I'm a hitman. For who? Either or. You know, the idea of just having hitmen just going after each other, but then not caring about taking down the other side. You know, again, I work with how I'm paid. You know, it's very nice, and it's enjoyable as a plot device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love the last save by Harvey Bullock at the very end of the episode, just that whole nod he gave to Gordon. Gordon nods back. I'm like, the partnership is getting bigger. I like it.
Yes. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good things, in this series so far. And one thing I want to ask you about is how do you feel about Bruce Wayne having so many interactions with Jim Gordon? How does that make you feel? Yeah,
it's tough to explain,
right?
Because, yeah, I like it, and at the same time, I'm not the biggest fan of it, because
right.
I feel like Gordon is having a really big influence on him at involving him becoming Batman, and while that isn't 100% accurate to the comics, I don't think it's a bad move either. It's just not what I'm used to, and I kind of just feel like, you know, you're a cop. He's not the only person in the world you need to visit.
Yeah, it's a weird situation where here's the thing, it makes sense, which is bad, because it makes sense, just not something that I think many of us enjoy, but it really does make sense, and here's why I feel. And, you know, hey, if you disagree, 718-664-9468, but the way I feel, right, is the idea that, you know, first off, Jim Gordon feels in debt to Bruce Wayne, right? Mm-hmm. And Bruce Wayne, who, you know, he, Jim Gordon being a military man, he just has the discipline. So he feels as if, you know, honor and all this stuff. So he feels as if he's in debt to Bruce, and he will do anything he can to, you know, get the killer caught. However, right, and then, of course, in turn, you look at someone like Jim Gordon, he's a model man, you know, to base yourself, you know, after. So, yeah, you would see, you know, you would see little Bruce, and he would look up at Gordon, and he would think, damn, I want to, you know, like, that's the man that I would like to be. And you can see how in, you know, later, right, let's say later as in, you know, when Bruce Wayne is older in Batman, he is now just like Jim Gordon. So Jim Gordon goes, oh, I like that guy. You know, it kind of meshes up well.
Yeah.
Of course, it just, you know, so it makes sense that it, that he would have a little bit of a lasting effect on him. But at the same time, I do admit that, you know, it, I can see where people are coming from when they say that they don't really enjoy, you know, mm-hmm. having all of this interaction. Which, again, if they're smart, and I think, as I said this before, if they're smart, you know, this will be the only season where he has that type of interaction with him. You know, even though I love the actor of Bruce Wayne, you know, he's a great actor. He's a great Bruce Wayne. But hopefully, if this show goes on for 5 seasons. They don't have Bruce Wayne on for 5 seasons unless they're doing something else that I really wish they would do and do a time skip, you know, a time jump into what could be year one or maybe a bit before it and things like that. But if they keep on sticking to their present, you know, the past and whatever, then it would be very upsetting if Bruce Wayne is still a part of it.
Especially because he does have to go away for training for a while.
For a very long while, which,
yeah.
I mean, again, I guess you could say, you know, there's a quote-unquote unaccounted time, so he'll take some time to be in Gotham, you know, because I don't, you know, because, I mean, it's weird. They do say that Bruce Wayne did go off the map after the death, or not completely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, because there's...
I'm trying to remember,
I mean,
actually.
Yeah, no, because I don't think we really had that much confirmation in terms of just, you know, Bruce Wayne's parents died. Bruce Wayne not really seen public. Bruce
That's
Wayne come back.
I know,
yeah.
I forget what interview it was, but there was an interview where the actor that plays Bruce Wayne mentioned there are some scenes that involve Bruce getting reantiquated with the world. Like, he goes back to school to see the reactions of those of people, like, in his grade bullying him, apparently, things like that. So he is going to be back in school and the public eye. I'm just not sure to what extent and for how long they're going to keep that.
That just makes me feel so bad because I love the actor, but it's just all I can see now is just, you know, it's just like, yeah, you know, you're a little nerd, your parents died. Shut up, child. You know nothing of the night. You know nothing of what I've gone through. The torture and the pain that I've felt.
How are you, emo nerd?
Yeah, right, just, I'm a hard 10. but seriously, though, it's weird, because I would love for him to stay on, but I really hope that they kind of just phase him out after the first season, because if all this stuff happens in the first season, okay, and then it's just like, oh, he went away because of this, and I'll be okay with it, but hopefully he doesn't stay on for that long.
Yeah.
But, anywho, so how did you feel about the scene between Gordon and Barbara with, you know, bringing up Montoya?
Here's one of the things, and I'm not sure if it's a legitimate thing or if it's more a matter of personal preference. I would have enjoyed this to happen much later in the season. Maybe when, like, all the shit is hitting the fan. It would have been another thing to just pile on Gordon to see how much this truly, who is the last good man in Gotham, to see how much he can actually take before he breaks, if he breaks.
Yes. I know Flash, which we'll be talking about, I believe, on Saturday. I know, you know, and of course you can check our Facebook and our Twitter and our website to see the updates, which, of course, you know, we'll talk about later on in the show. But... we should be doing Flash and Arrow on Saturday. However, I believe Flash was scheduled for 11 episodes and then bumped up to 20-something. Am I correct or
no?
Arrow?
You're thinking of Gotham. Scheduled for 16 and bumped to 22, I believe.
Okay, because I heard that Flash was confirmed for a full season.
Oh, that I didn't hear, actually.
Okay,
I didn't hear
but
that.
Anyway,
I do know
my point is this. Well, no, my point is, yes, my point is with relating it to Gotham, right? Because Gotham, you know, being bumped up as well, I feel like they were prepping for 16 episodes. And because, of course, as many of you know, these are filmed in so, you know, so much in advance that now it's just like now they're bumped up to 22 and they already have these episodes filmed. So the pacing is going to be a bit off when it comes to a show like this. You know, this isn't something like Full House, where as much as I, you know, I enjoy Full House, but each and every episode stands alone, usually. So with the fact that they stand, same thing with like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So other than some, you know, characters that may be introduced, each episode stands alone in a way that if you're bumped up from 16 to 22 episodes, nobody's sweating anything. You know, maybe 16 would have been like a season finale type, fair enough. But other than that one episode and the first episode in the series, you're pretty good. But in this case, it's only, you know, it's built on all of this, you know, like, oh, you know, look at this drama. Oh, look at this. And they paced it in a way that I don't think they were, like, maybe they did expect it to be 22 episodes. Maybe. But I think it would have been foolish if they just, you know, made, like, 16 episodes and thought, eh, 16 won't even be the end, you know, of the season. 16 will just be whatever. So, you know, I would say that it's a bit of a problem.
Absolutely.
I think, because, yeah, because you're going to notice that. Same thing with The Flash so far. You notice some of the things that have been introduced, and you're thinking, wow, this seems very early. Well, from what we hear, Flash is set, only set for 11 episodes for the season. So when you put that into perspective, you think, oh, that's not so bad, actually. Yeah, so when it comes to...
Because most Fox dramas are typically 13 to 16 episodes. So I'm feeling like Gotham writers thought, all right, we have 16 episodes, that's the norm, that's what we're going to work with. So when they just decided to do the extra, when we've already started the season, I believe they announced it when we were three or four episodes in, I don't know. I get the feeling that the last few episodes are going to be what was going to be in season two, and that they're going to end it on like a giant cliffhanger. That's just the feeling I get.
Yeah, it has, it's not going to look pretty, I feel. I mean, don't worry. It'll probably be something crazy will happen. So we'll probably just be screaming, just, right? But, oh, my God. But, you know, for right now, just our prediction is it won't really look so pretty. But anyway, the reason why I brought up the scene between Barbara and Gordon, not just because of that, but it was something interesting. Just the way the conversation went and the way it was written, right, was confusing to me. Because Gordon just said, you know, like, oh, what's the problem, Gordon? Is it because that, you know, she's a woman? And Gordon's like, no, it's because you lied. And I sat there and I was like, it was such a weird choice of words, because usually you hear like, oh, you kept something from me or whatever. But it just feels like it's even stranger, where it's just like, I'm not, you know, it's like, I'm not homophobic. It's like, but Gordon, it sounds like from the way the scene went, like you specifically asked her while yelling, just, have you had a lesbian relationship? Tell me, Barbara. And she was like, no, I haven't. And it was like, you lied about that. Like, it was just, you know, I mean, I understand the idea of, oh, you kept something from me, you know, like, why are you keeping things from me? But it was just a weird situation. Like, it, you know, it was a weird situation. It was a weird way, you know, place where they went. And, I mean, and I say weird situation not because it's a, you know, a lesbian relationship. No, not at all. Just a weird situation because, you know, it's just, I mean, here's the thing, too, by the way. We haven't seen enough of Montoya to feel like there's that much of a problem, I believe.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Also, the idea of it was just him being upset that, you know, she and Montoya have been seeing each other just in general while he's been away. You know, being an ex, you know, an ex in general. I'd understand that. But it was just weird because, I mean, again, maybe I'm blanking out here, but I don't remember anyone specifically asking anyone anything. I was like, no, not at all. You know?
Yeah.
So it was a weird line.
The whole scene to me just felt really off.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with, you know, a relationship or anything, because it could have been anyone of any, you know, gender. It still would have been off to us, because also another thing is, we're, you know, I know you and I, we're not big fans of the drama. You know, even though the show is a drama, we're not big fans of couple drama, you know? It happens, you know, it happens in comic books, still not a big fan, you know? So I'll also say that, too, where it's just, you know, like you mentioned, too, you know, it should be coming up later. So it's coming up now. It's just, it just feels like they're trying to pile everything up in the beginning, and it just feels strange.
Exactly.
Yes. Also, by the way, Fish Mooney, right, I'm loving her interactions with the different singers, and especially with the singer, the first one, where she ends up, you know, basically she's saying, you know, which became interesting, because at first it was funny, where it was just, hey, pretend, you know, pretend that I am a man and try and seduce me. eventually, just for 5 seconds, Fish is like, good thing you can sing. Just go. And then she mentions that she's looking for a weapon, which was interesting. And I assumed by weapon, you know, it was going to turn into like a successor, I assume. Yes, we learn much later in episode 5 what's going on. We'll get to that when we get to 5. But as of right now, you know, just really mull that over if you believe that as well. You know, I thought she was looking for a successor because it just for some reason made me feel as if she was thinking, I'm going to go down. However, when I go down, we'll have someone else take my place.
Yeah, I got
something that Falcone doesn't have. So, you know, but it's strange. Also, by the way, speaking of the coolness factor of this hitman, something that wasn't so cool, and this also happened in episode 5 as well, the idea of give this to someone, they'll do anything. You know, where it's just, I know, in the beginning of episode 4, it was just, what is this? It's my invention. You should look right into it. Did you also guess that we're in a dark parking lot? You know, I did. Kills you.
Yeah.
I don't know. And here's the thing, too. You might be like, Matt, come on. Why is someone just going to assume the worst? Like, why would someone just sit there and assume that they're in Gotham?
I was about to say, you're in fucking Gotham. You would assume
they're
the worst of anything.
If I was in Gotham, I would just shoot anyone without asking any questions.
Someone could just walk up to me. Sir, would you like to adopt this puppy? Why? Is its fur poisonous? Will it double my die if I touch it? What did you do to it?
See, that's why you're dead. I would have shot that person and the puppy immediately, and then guess what? They would have both turned into black ooze, all right? Because they were some kind of creepy creation, and I just saved my own ass. See, you're dead. You just died by by letting him finish the sentence. Just the second someone walks up to me and says, immediately they and their puppy are going to die. For good measure, because I'm in Gotham.
Of course.
Yeah. But I just feel such. I just love it. It's recorded. It's on the radio. Matt, if Matt is in Gotham, he will kill puppies. but yes. But anyway, so when, what is it? When you have Fish Mooney, right? Because at first I thought it was funny when she talked to the first singer, and you know, but once she got to the second singer, it really dawned on me that what she was doing to them is actually a really great technique to test someone. Like it sounds silly, but you look into it and you realize that first off you test their loyalty, right? Then you see how they react on their feet. And then you can also see how great of an actor or an actress the person is. And then, you know, and in my head, it didn't dawn on, you know, even though it should dawn on you, be like, infiltration. It didn't hit me. I just assumed that it was just, you need to be someone just as cunning as Fish Mooney is.
I have the exact same idea.
Yeah. So it was weird. Not weird. It was ingenious where it went. And it felt like they were leading me in the wrong direction on purpose. So, damn you. But, yes, so, we mentioned we love Penguin. I love how he's playing the game. I really do. How he's just weaseling his way into everything. And it's wonderful.
It really is.
It's beautiful. We love Penguin. Everyone should love Penguin. If you don't love Penguin, then I don't know what to tell you. Or Joker. Depending on what you... Bring up the fan theories, Anthony. Yeah,
oh,
bring up
boy.
The fan theories. We have time.
Okay. So there's currently a fan theory circulating around the internet that Penguin might actually be Joker. And the evidence to support this is he has Joker's mannerisms. What?
There's nothing.
Apparently he has Joker's mannerisms, his body build, apparently, and his jaw structure, interestingly enough. And people are basically assuming, look, technically, Oswald Cobblepot is dead to everyone. So they believe that he's going to pay a fat, short man to take the name Oswald Cobblepot, and then he will become the Joker. Because reasons.
Ooh. I mean, it's weird. I can see it, and I understand it. But I also, you know, there's just certain things about him that scream Cobblepot. The fact that he walks with a limp. Right.
Mm.
The fact that, here's the thing too, by the way. I think these people, and you know, it's not all, but some of these people who believe this, either haven't read comic books or that they have read comic books, but not the really bad interpretations of Penguin that I believe are bad, where he's just killing everyone left and right, that I don't enjoy, but that I enjoy in this aspect. How, you ask? Because this is young Penguin. So I feel as if young Penguin would kill anyone to survive. But we get to older Penguin, and I'm really not a big fan of, let's say, older Penguin, you know, stabbing with his cane, which is actually a knife, you know, things like that. I'm not a big fan of that. But, you know, because I feel like at that point he can just get people to kill for him. And that's why he has become so fat, like a penguin, because he's just sitting on his ass all day. He's smart, but he's already gotten to the top, if you will. But as of right now, he's younger. He doesn't need to be that heavy. Although, you know, he does have a bit of a baby face, and I don't remember seeing any family pictures, but he could have been heavier when he was younger, too. So, like, it's not like they're saying that he's always been like this. You know, so I feel like he, like, honestly, if this does happen, I'm sorry, and I know we say, I say this with one of our co-hosts, Tish Ram, every week about WWE, like, oh, we're going to stop watching. We never really do, but we feel like it sometimes. You know, with this, right, I think I would stop watching if it was just like, actually, he's the Joker, and then Penguin is this short, fat guy. You were watching the Joker get up to the top without even realizing it. Like, I just wouldn't, it wouldn't hit, it wouldn't really feel good at all. Because I have, you know, because again, at the end of the day, you're going to twist a few things here and there. You can twist them to make them appropriate to the situation and the comic books, where I will admit, this isn't going, you know, with Bruce Wayne and Gordon, it isn't really going the way, you know, the comic books would, but I feel like they're giving it enough room that it could have happened in, let's say, a separate universe. It could have happened. Making Penguin really be the Joker is basically territory that, you know, you would have to make up a whole new universe just because. Where I feel like right now, a lot of this, not all, but a lot of this could happen, you know? People could go, oh, yeah, you know, I can kind of see this, you know, happening. Not that. That's just where you're going to the point where it's just too much, and I wouldn't be surprised if people are making that up as a joke. Like, but what if, you know? Because, you know, or they're making it up because, you know, they're bringing it up, rather, you know, in their minds, because, you know, a lot of fandoms cross over. So when you start watching things like Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, Doctor Who, your brain never stops. So after a while, you're just like, but what if Bruce Wayne is actually Thomas Wayne from the past, sent to the future to be Batman? It's like, but wait, what do you mean the future? Well, okay, it's his, their future, but it's our past still. Because it's a flashback season. It'll work out. You know? You know what I mean?
Give it time.
Yeah, pretty much. Just give it some time. It'll all iron itself out. But, like, what? Is Thomas Wayne just going to go into the past one day? Yes! Their past, not ours. Our past is
past?
Their
past. Their past. I don't know who they are. You don't need to.
Yeah. Who's on first? But yeah, I just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just, listen, I'm sorry that I just shot down some people's theory. It's just that I feel like, you know, this is a show that while it can do things a bit out of the box, it still has something, in my opinion, to quote unquote adhere to compared to, let's say, Walking Dead, where Walking Dead can go on and be its own thing. So I understand why they do what they do. But when it comes to this, no, like, let's no. But anyway, so the fight between Gordon and the Hitman was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I enjoyed it. Now, how did you feel about the fight between the two women?
It was interesting.
Terribly done.
Yeah.
Terribly
done. It was horribly done.
Okay, thank you.
I kind of figured it was coming when they just showed them there, but the execution was really bad.
No, that's what I'm saying. No. Let me rephrase to everyone. Yeah, just want to make sure. The fact that it happened was great. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, of course it had to happen. You know, it was really funny, you know, and it was kind of, you know, great how they kind of, you know, made it so that the one that you didn't think was going to win won, right? So that was all nice. The problem is that all I hear in my head is just like, you know, it's giving me WWE flashbacks. Where it's just like, you know, the men get 20 minutes to fight. The women get like five. Two. You know, and you sit there and in a way, like, I guess they were trying to make it so that it was very quick. so that the music was dramatic and, you know, I'm sorry, intense rather, and it was quick, and then, you know, it's just like, oh, and then all of a sudden you're like surprised. You're like, oh, she won? What? No, you know, like you kind of, you're supposed to feel that. But for me, after such a long fight scene between, you know, Gordon and the hitman, a great fight scene. And I know that these women aren't trained, but still, maybe a bit more head bashing before it's like three bashes and it's just like, you're done. And I don't know. There was just a lot of, like, it just felt very quick and too quick to be, you know, to be given enough time, I feel. That's the thing. Because, and also, the camera, you know, it felt like it was a bit choppy in terms of the editing. So it was just very fast-paced in a way that was just like, as if you will sped up.
Absolutely.
And I really didn't enjoy it at all. And I felt terrible because I wanted to enjoy it. Because, you know, it was just like, I don't know, it felt weird. I mean, also the fact that, you know, they didn't really show any blood, which I'm not saying I always want blood, but I think it would have really brought some passion and intensity into the scene. Like, it just felt very cold. You know, for a fight.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, but hey, it's very interesting that she won. You know, the second singer who we thought, while she was definitely able to, you know, like, this, you know, she got the seduction down, but she did not have the singing down.
Nope.
Which is very funny how life does that sometimes. You know, where it's just like, we need the full package. And it's like, well, I have one, then I have the other. What are we going to do? Well, we could try to combine them. Technology not available, Ms. Mooney. Well, then they should kill each other. You know, what if that just constantly happened, where she was just like, where she just started saying, like, maybe we could, technology not available. Like, what if we just take her vocal cords and we just give them an upgrade, technology not available. Like, just each and every time, just, it doesn't matter what happens. Be like, what if I just combine this part of this man with this part, technology not available. Damn it. But anyway, so, you know, we've reached the end of episode 4, where Oswald Cobblepot stars in his own little film.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he starred in a little, he did. Many of you may have missed it. It was a little film called, you know, Attack of the Killer Cannolis, where he just, you know, the cannolis had blades in them. He stabbed all of them after. No, but seriously, he gave them killer cannolis. It was great, too, by the way, because there was, like, no... I guess everyone always just underestimates him, which is also a great thing about his character.
Mm-hmm.
But how funny was it, where it's just like, you know, just, do you want one? Oh, no, I would never have the poison cannolis, you schmuck.
Just the whole scene, I just was smiling ear to ear. He just walks in the door, I brought cannolis. It's like, what?
Yeah, no, this is what he said. He's like, I bought cannolis. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I guess, you know, Maroni, that's supposed to be the Italian side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always the mob, but still, I feel like, you know, they're trying to go for the Italian with Maroni and everything. So it's just really funny how it's just like, yeah, you know, here's some cannolis. I want to watch you eat them. That too, by the way, where it's like, you know, it wasn't even just like, oh, yeah, enjoy them. I'm going to go. It's just...
Smiling, watching them all.
He's smiling real big. Why is he smiling real big? Hey, look, Tommy just vomited out his intestines. How funny is that shit?
I'm catching on to the pattern, but what the hell? It's a good way to go.
Yeah, right? But, so yeah, now we're at episode 5. We made it. We're already halfway there. If you want to call in and talk about episode 5 at any point tonight, 718-664-9468, 718-664-9468. And if you don't, well, you can also listen in, you know, which, hey, why not? There's so many people listening right now. Swear to God, there are a lot of people listening in right now. There's you, Anthony, and then there's me. And it's great.
We're
maybe
a dedicated
even one
fan
more.
Base.
We are our own dedicated fan base, I think. Like, honestly,
absolutely.
I have to admit, after this show, I'm going to critique everything that I said, you know, very vehemently on the internet. I'm just going to post it like, that Matt was such an asshole. Yep. So episode 5. Bruce, you know, as I mentioned earlier, just such a good actor for Bruce. I really am enjoying, you know, that's the bad thing about, you know, this show, where I want to say they should have given up on Bruce in episode 2. But then there's all this, you know, good stuff going on in the background. And it makes me think, damn. Like,
I mean, the best thing for me was actually, and I had mentioned this in one of our earlier episodes for Gotham, was that I really wanted to see Bruce kind of become a junior detective in the way he was in the Court of Owls story. So when this episode, like when I saw that, I was like, they're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, the idea, I agree, the idea that he wants to protect his company is such a good one, because at the end of the day, you know, he might become a playboy, you know, by the end, by the beginning of Batman, become a playboy, but at the same time, you know, it's, you know, the idea where it's just playboy philanthropist, you know, he still wants to, like, he doesn't sit there and fall asleep during meetings unless it's really been a tiring night at Batman, but even if he falls asleep during meetings, he'll still be the guy who's like, excuse me, I want to talk to you about this specific thing. Like if he falls asleep at meetings because he realizes that everything is at peace, you know? But if he's actually just like, oh, wait a minute, I have something to bring up to you, he's not going to go, I'll do it later. No, it's for the good of Gotham.
Exactly.
And that's what I really enjoyed about this. Also, speaking of what I brought up last episode in terms of, hey, look, just, you know, people handing you things. I love just, you know, just why are you just breathing things people hand to you? Just why?
Like, breathe me. Well, I mean, I have no reason to distrust the vial.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, most of my favorite drugs come from the vial. You know, like, it's just, it's interesting, where it's just, you know, like, I understand, you know, they're trying to, you know, make it a drug and whatever, but it's just, I don't know. I just, it's, how, like, oh, listen, right, I understand, you know, drugs can be addicting. I don't do drugs. Drugs can be addicting. I've known people who have done drugs. But anyway, you know, the thing is, though, is how bad is it? Like, how much are you jonesing for something where it's just like, hey, man, hand you a vial for free. I'll take it.
Exactly.
Just, hey, man, here's something. I'll take that, too. Like, dude, that was just Gatorade. But, dude, I'm flying. Like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, like, I'll take whatever you give to me. Just, I mean, like, it's just, it's weird because, it, you know, it goes from being, like, because even later, Harvey was like, oh, yeah, you know, how about we just keep all the good citizens indoors and just let these druggies go at it? And it's like, but how much of a druggie are you? I know we're in Gotham, but still, the idea of just, like, it's to the point where just hand it to anyone. Just hand the vial to anyone, and apparently they'll drink it. Like, even the quote-unquote normal citizens, I'm sure they drink it, too, because welcome to Gotham, everyone.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Also, a little bit of Selena in this episode.
Yeah, that was nice. It's been a while.
Yeah, right? It's been, what was it, like 3 weeks, I think?
I believe so, yeah, 3 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, a while. And then also, just, I love Harvey. Jim, it's lunchtime! Relax! Jim!
It's lunchtime!
Yeah, as if, it's as if Gordon was just like, as if it's like, oh, Gordon's not hearing me. Let me remind him of the importance of my daily prayer. Like, you know, because like, if Harvey had a religion, it'd be lunchtime. It would be food. Yeah. But so how do you feel? Because I'll tell you about how I feel in a minute. I don't want to rant too much, but until you do. But how do you feel about the villains that we've been getting in Gotham? The villain of the week.
I will say that the villain of the week thing, I'm okay with as long as it's not every single week. Like, I'd love to see at least a few episodes kind of go in maybe 2 or 3 episode arcs. I think that'd be pretty cool. The one thing about this week was that it's interesting because I actually mentioned this before we actually got on here, was that when the guy first got the little vial that said breathe me, I was like, Mad Hatter? Because they kind of had that Alice in Wonderland vibe when she goes down the rabbit hole and she sees the cake that's like, eat me, drink me. I'm like, I guess we're getting Mad Hatter, which is kind of weird. And then it turns out to be Viper, which then turns out to be Venom. And I was like, Bane. Obviously, we didn't get Bane yet. But it is pretty cool to see that. Just, it's another case of the whole Barbara Gordon thing where I'm like, this is pretty early on to be getting this in Gotham. But, okay.
Well, yeah, I think it's the idea that a lot of things, I guess they're trying to say, that a lot of things end up being in lockup until, on said day, Bane, you know, just sugar and spice and everything Viper. And then Bane was born. Lucha Libre. Dun, 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 dun. But yeah, I assumed it was just, it's getting to that. But, you know, and they're going to be locked up. Not they as people, because they're all dead. But the Viper is going to be locked up until maybe, you know, something happens. But I agree, it is a bit too early. My take on it, with these villains, I feel like the creative teams for Arrow and Gotham just need to switch. Not the characters. Not the characters. Although, you know, maybe maybe our creators need a few pointers. All the city. But anyway, no, but seriously, I feel like the Arrow, you know, that Arrow is the show that should have more stuff like this. Like, you know, the idea of not even Viper. Because here's Viper, of course, it becomes, you know, Venom. So we do have that in, you know, in the Batman universe. But the thing is that with what Viper displayed so much, because it's just like if it was just like, oh yeah, Viper, you can carry around the ATM, and maybe you could, like, punch through, like, you know, like, metallic stuff, and your hand's just fine, let's say. Mm-hmm. Or you can take down, like, three men. You know, it's like, oh damn, like, that's strong, right? But the way they portrayed it in this show, with what he, you know, with what the first guy could pick up, it really felt as if it was just like, you know, like, guys, we, you know, it felt very much something that we don't see in Batman often. We would see in a lot of other universes that, you know, that are still in DC, but a lot of other comic books. So it just feels as if the Arrow creative team was trying to make a very, 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 very grounded, where it just, again, like, it doesn't matter, you know, anyone. It's just like, you know, like, you're like, I am a drug dealer on the street selling you this. My name is Scarecrow, right? And he's very minimal, not even the, you know, the burlap sack on his head, just very minimal. And you're like, oh, that's their interpretation of Scarecrow. Where, like, Gotham is just like, ooh, my name is Tippy Middlebottoms. And, you know, and, like, he just, you know, shoots bubbles out of his nipples that explode. Like, it's just crazy stuff that I just feel like they're, you know, like I wouldn't be surprised if we freaking get Batmite in this season. I would not be surprised if we get Batmite. With the way they've been going, I wouldn't be surprised if the season finale is like, hey, look, it's Batman. Wait a minute, Toy Young. And then just, then Bruce is like, what? And then Batmite is what he bases his version of Batman off of. He just starts drawing. He's just like, yeah, that's a great design, just not as small. You know? But no, but seriously, though, although I'm not sure if I'm not being serious here, but seriously, though, I just feel like, you know, many of the villains in Batman thus far, they're, you know, in Gotham, rather, they're trying to, you know, they're making them a bit more larger than life than would normally happen in a Batman comic.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, you know, I mean, we do have some crazy stuff in Batman comics, right? But usually I feel like Batman, you know, stuff is quote-unquote grounded in reality to a certain degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, something about seeing Blue Moon Man and seeing, you know, Viper being portrayed the way it is, I'm not saying, again, it's bad. I'm not saying it's not comic book-like. Honestly, it feels like it like the creators of the show definitely read comic books. But it feels like it's a, it feels like it's definitely like a 1940s, 1960s comic book.
I was actually going to say it kind of feels almost like Harvey and Gordon are kind of like in a Brave and the Bold comic book.
Yes, which, I don't want to say that's bad either. It's just that, you know, it depends on who you're adapting to the screen, I feel. Like, if you're adapting Batman to the screen or Gotham and things like that, I feel like a more grounded approach. Anything else I feel is fair game. Even Arrow, you know, I feel like it's fair game. In terms of, you know, I don't know a lot about Arrow via comic books, but I don't think that these, you know, that his villains need to be a lot more grounded, you know, compared to, you know, what they are right now. And then you also look at, you know, thankfully Flash, you know, the villains are going to have more powers, but I do think that they're trying to do a lot in Flash that's also very grounded, which is weird when it comes to Flash.
Yeah.
So, like, if, you know, where it's not the worst thing in the world. I just feel like this is a weird show, you know, Gotham, to not take baby steps in the water. To just be like, Balloon Man is his name, you know, and just basically dive in head first.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, again, not the worst thing in the world, but I just feel like this is a show that would be great to have more things like the way the Count, you know, Count Vertigo was shown.
Oh,
you know, not Count Vertigo himself, but the way he was shown, or things like, you know, like Toy Man and, you know, and other kind of, you know, I mean, they do have Dollmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I always get them confused. They have Dollmaker in this.
Dollmaker.
He's in Gotham, or is it Toy Man who's in Gotham? My brain is shot.
Dollmaker,
who's in Gotham. But Toy Man was in Arrow.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it would be nice to have Toymaker as well. Things like, you know, people like that I can see in a weird way. You know, but in having, you know, yeah, it's a strange thing, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, not bad, just different. But yes. So, how do you feel about Penguin kind of letting everything out to Maroney?
It was interesting. It's so weird. It's just with the show, there are so many things where I'm like, why are they doing this early on, guys?
Right.
It's okay to keep it on hold for a while. You have a lot more than 16 episodes now. It's just, I know they've shot
it
already.
Yeah, they didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I know they shot it already. It's just that I just feel like too much is getting let out too early. The whole thing with Barbara, Penguin releasing all this information to Maroney.
It could have. But think of it like this, too. Let's pretend it was 16 episodes. They may not take any breaks.
All right, that is
which,
a good point.
Yeah, and right now we're already, if you think about it, you know, next week, next Monday, we're already 6 episodes in. So 10 would be left.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting, I feel. But something that I want to bring up, though. Not just that, I feel like they, maybe it's just me, but I feel like this is one of those situations that people as writers, they made it happen. And of course it sounds silly, because it's like, well, everyone's writing this, Matt. What are you talking about? It's the idea that sometimes with writing, you end up betraying what a character would do to make the plot advance. Or you just kind of make people go with the motions. And I feel like this was one of those situations. And I'm sorry, you know, everyone. Again, I love Gotham. So, you know, and I love the writers for Gotham. I love the actors and everything. You know, I really do enjoy Gotham. But it just feels as if this was a situation where it was just, okay, we need to basically keep on putting crap on Gordon. And then one day he will face a moral dilemma. We need to do that immediately. Awesome, let's have Penguin reveal this information to them. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't try, you know, and do stuff to be favorable with them, but it just feels like a large oversight from Penguin.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like it feels like it's like, Penguin, you should have expected someone to punch you in the face and threaten to kill you. You're back in Gotham. You know, did you really felt so calm? Really? I mean, okay, if you did, I mean, that's you, I guess. But, like, usually he's not the kind of person to do that. He's very guarded, very to himself. So it's strange that he would just think, actually, you know what? No. Like, I'm going to do this. It was strange.
Mm.
Not the biggest fan. But, of course, you know, I will admit it is nice, you know, to give, you know, Gordon these dilemmas, because later on it is going to hurt him. And that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way it happened was a bit off. Did you notice, maybe it was just me, I just really enjoy, you know, it's now on to something funny. Sort of. I really enjoy how much Harvey just gets thrown around by people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's always being thrown around by somebody through something. You know, Gordon got some of that in this episode with Viper. A little bit he got. But it's usually always Harvey just, you know, like when he was fighting a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
You know, she was a bodybuilder who's just throwing him around. It's just Gordon! You know, that happens, apparently. You know, so, yeah, that was funny. That, and then, I gotta tell you, I fucking died, right? I mean, I fucking died when Gordon is just interrogating this professor. And all of a sudden, Harvey goes, and what's out, you know, what's altruism?
I was watching it on DVR, and I had to pause it because I was just going to laugh for a while. I couldn't miss anything. I was just laughing so hard at that.
I believe I did the same, too. Or if it went to commercial, I think I'd let the commercials run because it was – I also had it recorded on DVR. It was just too much. It was too much. I mean, you love Harvey, right? Because of – you know, and it's just – that's the thing. Like, you know, the characters in this show are pretty perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much perfect. I mean, what they, you know, how they write them and what they say, you know, very rarely am I like, oh, that's not something so-and-so would say. I mean, you look at something like Barbara, and I know how you feel about Barbara, but we don't know much about a young Barbara. So this, in theory, could fit, you know? And with Alfred, too, we've complained about Alfred, but now we just chuck it up to different universe. So, you know, it's hard, you know. And also, he's becoming more and more lovable as the show goes on.
That is true.
But it's just Harvey. It's just... because everything else was just some kind of term in place, and it all made sense, and he just didn't get what the word altruism is. So in his head, it's like, that's some code word, or that's some name of a place, that's the name of a company. You know, it's like, Garen, what's altruism? And then Gordon just had this look on his face, like, son of a bitch. It was all perfect. It was all way too perfect. You know, it was just, oh man, it's just such a good, you know, they're great writers and they're great actors on this show, and I really, you know, things like that will keep me watching. You know, character interaction will really keep me watching.
Absolutely.
But yeah. So, and also bringing up before, you know, as we have to wrap things up because we're getting to the end, I just love little Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so much because, you know, like I said earlier, where he really cares about, you know, his company, he really does. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if the Viper guy didn't die. I would not have been surprised if he would have said, hey, I'm talking to you. Like, I'm going to go to jail, like, every whenever visitation period I can to speak to you and to get the lowdown on what's going on, what went on in my company. And I'm going to come back and I'm going, like, now that, just the idea that he's like, was that true? Oh, of course it wasn't true, Bruce. Now that he knows that this stuff is going on, I cannot wait to see, you know, this little Bruce, you know, take on his company. Because that's something I think I'll take more than Bruce, you know, Bruce goes to school. Like, no, I'd rather be, you know, Bruce, you know, trying to take over his company and possibly being vetoed out, you know, voted out or something like that. And he's like, fine then, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go train. And then we don't see Bruce for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until he's just like giant and ripped and it's just like, Bruce. And he's like, yes. Bruce, how old are you? 12. You know, I would be very excited to see just 12-year-olds. I'm Bruce, man. Shit, I mean Batwing. You know, what if that's just how he, like, he just goes through, it's like, you know, it's only through puberty. Like, it's just like, you know, like, he's 13, you know, 12, 13. He's just like, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, Alfred, can you get the car? Just blinks, just, you know, it's like, Master Bruce, but I don't know. I really don't understand anything. I'm Batman. Like, just, that's how he realizes. He's like, it's time, Alfred. But anyway, yeah, so I love little Bruce. I love that he cares. I can't wait for the future and where that goes. And, you know, of course, at the last scene that we saw, it was just ingenious. Because, not, you know, it's not like, you know, Fish Mooney was trying to make a successor, which is also smart. I mean, you never know what can happen in the field. I mean, she plans on, you know, taking down Falcone, and Falcone does lose, but, I mean, she can also die. So then it's like, who takes over? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a smart thing to invest in someone to help you. Now, strange that she, you know, she would do this so soon after Penguin, but she did choose a woman, which, I mean, I think maybe in her head is, you know, a better investment in someone to, you know, take over for her or to have it as an assistant, let's say, than a man like Penguin. You know, kind of a more Selina Kyle approach, but I can see it coming from her. Like, I can really see, actually, the actress for Fish, you know, for Fish being Catwoman, strangely enough. Like a, you know, like a, kind of like an Eartha Kitt type situation. I can see that. And, but anyway, like, if I had not seen any of the promotional stuff, or had they not shown Selina Kyle in the first minute, I would have been like, is that Catwoman? Hey, Miss Maroney, that's not, is that Catwoman? Because she kind of gives off this very much like a, ooh, like a, you know, like a kind of vibe that Eartha Kitt kind of gave when she would, you know, be Catwoman. It's very interesting. But anyway, so, yeah, we see her basically making a weapon, making someone who knows a lot or at least everything about Falcone and can manipulate him into loving her. And then I don't know what happens next, but I assume it's manipulating to loving her. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you feel about this as we wrap up?
I feel like the same way that she's going to manipulate him into loving her. Possibly she'll try to kill him in his sleep.
It's weird, though, because that's smart. But I don't know, because, you know, this, like, watch. Just episode 6, Falcone dies. Son of a, where are we going with this show?
What are you leaving us?
Yeah, like, what are you, I'm so confused. It's as if they just thought, you know what? Like, they got the word on how Flash is being done, and I haven't seen the newest episodes. But, you know, at the end of episode one, it was pretty revealing for some of us comic book fans. So it's just how, you know, so it would be really interesting if it's just, yeah, you know, we heard, you know, about what they're going to do with the Flash, so we just decided to one-up them. You get your entire show. You know, you think it's weird to have one episode basically kind of possibly spoiling a future plot point. Oh, no. By episode six, the season's done. The other 10 are filler. But yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting situation, and I can't wait to see where it goes. And yeah, hopefully she tries to kill him in his sleep. I don't know why that's on record. But it's been Matt Marrero says, hopefully she decides to kill him in his sleep. Tonight at 10, other bad things Matt Moreau has said on his podcast.
I was about to say, this is going to be the greatest podcast to listen back to on repeat. Matt Marrero will kill puppies if he's in Gotham. And he also wants people killed in their sleep.
Apparently that's what Matt Marrero wants. Just completely taking out of context.
Tonight's episode.
Yeah, just taking out of context. It's in Gotham, everyone. Not Metropolis. We're in Gotham. You know, but anyway. So, sadly, we have to wrap up. Before we do, though, I want to mention to everyone that you make custom figures, don't you, Anthony?
This is true.
Talk. Make this. Talk. Do the spiel. Do the shtick. Talk about what you do.
I have a few different things going on. One of them is an Instagram called Geek4LifeBlog, the number 4. You can go on there, check out custom figures that I've made, whether it be repaints, retools, or kit bashing. Kit bashing, essentially, is if you want a particular costume or incarnation of a character, and you know exactly what you want. Like, let's say you want the arm from this figure, the body from this figure. I can take them apart, combine them, and reassemble them, and repaint them to match the figure you want. That's all on the Instagram Geek4Life blog. There is also a blog spot that I have called figuresandgeeks.blogspot.com, which is where you can go to see figure reviews, movie reviews, TV show reviews, and even information about our upcoming podcasts.
Right. So that's what you have going on. What we have going on, actually, is a free Pokemon giveaway, which, by the way, when we say free, we literally mean free. No money, no questionnaires, nothing. All that you do have to do, however, to put in an entry, you can go on our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. You can look at our, you know, Pokemon post. And by the way, if you want to know what Pokemon we're giving you, by the way, we're giving you shiny Halloween-themed Pokemon that are battle-ready, coming straight from Satish Ram's collection, who Satish Ram being one of our co-hosts, who really, really, really enjoys Pokemon, and he also battles competitively himself. So he knows what he's doing. I can't give you any information in terms of I'm terrible information, but, you know, he knows what he's doing. So please understand that. He knows everything. So, right, you go on our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, and if you find that post and you reblog it and you follow us on Tumblr, that counts as one entry. You go on our Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or just Those Guys, right? You search that up, and you could, you know, find the Pokemon post there. And if you follow, you know, you like us on Facebook, and then you share that post, that's your second entry, right? And then your third, you can go to our Twitter, Those Guys on the Radio, right? Oh, I'm sorry, just Those Guys. Or we're Those Guys, but we also have the name Professor Oak. And if you go there, right, and you find the Pokemon post, right, so you have to, you retweet that, and you follow us on Twitter, that's a third entry. So you now have three entries to win one of these six Pokemon that are available through us. And you basically have six Pokemon, you have three chances to win. Go nuts. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that you won't be entering, Anthony, but it's okay. Also, if anyone thinks, darn, I might not win, what if I don't win? Don't worry, because next month we'll be having a Pokemon giveaway, and in December. So Pokemon, just keep on coming. Pokemon never stops. So, and thank you guys. Thank you all for listening to Those Guys. Let's play us out.